So we'd like to do a survey. Please raise your hand. How many devotees here would like to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? Okay, it's unanimous. That's very good. So this very nice song that we're singing today, which I don't know if it's in any songbooks in English, but we translated it a few years ago. It's a very popular song amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bengal and Orissa. It's found in our ISKCON songbook in Bengali. They printed in Nabadweep, Mayapur. But it's describing something about the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Mm-hmm. The author of the song, who only identifies himself as Krishna Das, and we don't really know who that is. Sometimes Vaishnavas, they don't like their own names to be mentioned, so they'll give some generic name. And Krishna Das is such a common name because we're all Krishna Das. So the author is praying to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Why is he approaching Lord Nityananda? He says, Mora Nityananda. He's my Nityananda. And why? Because he's a dosha darshi. He doesn't see any fault. And by this, the author is implying several things. One thing that he's implying is that I'm so full of fault. Dosha kami. Please forgive me for my offenses. Moha dami. I'm a very, very fallen person. Koronija das. Please make me your servant. So he's approaching Lord Nityananda with the understanding, this is my only hope. I have to approach someone who's so merciful that they won't see fault because I have so many faults in myself. There's another subtle point the author is making here, though, and that is, if we want the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, we also have to become a dosha darshi. How is it if we were to go and cry, oh, kripa koro, please give me mercy, please forgive me for my offenses, I'm so very fallen, I have so many faults. But then we go around pointing out the faults of everyone else. It would be very, very duplicitous. So the author is singing, Adosha Darshi Mora, Prabhu Nityananda. But I'm so very, very unfortunate. Although I've been coming to Mangal Artik every day and chanting my rounds and going on Sankirtan, the truth of the matter is that Nabajino Heno Prabhu, Dvaya Thakur, I never really worshipped him. And who is Lord Nityananda? He's describing in this second line of the first stanza. He's Dvaya Thakur. He's the Lord of mercy. But I can see that I never properly worshipped him because he's so merciful. He's a dosha darshi that definitely, if I would have really worshipped him, then certainly he would have given me his merciful glance. And I would have gotten Krishna Prem. But I don't have that thing. So he's singing, Hoi re na jani mui, kemona asura. I'm such a demon. I didn't know. I didn't understand the position of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he offers a prayer to his mind. Hoi re abhagar prana, or rather to his heart, his prana. Hoi re abhagar prana, ki suke achaha. My dear heart, when are you going to be happy? My whole life, I've been trying to serve you in so many ways. A little child, when he goes to the store with his mother, he sees a little red toy fire truck. And I have to have it. And he starts screaming and crying if his mother doesn't give it for him. He has so many desires that he has. And then when he grows up, he just has to have this girlfriend. And he just has to have a particular car and a particular set of clothes. We have so many desires. So he's praying. Hoi re, abhaga prana, kisuke achaha. My heart, you're never happy. I've tried to serve you in so many ways. I have given you everything you've asked for, but still you've never, ever been satisfied. Nitai bolia kena bolia najaha. Better for you, you call out the name of Lord Nityananda and die. Be finished with all your ridiculous desires. And just one time, with sincerity, call out the name of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. It means that if we want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, if we really want to call out the name of Nityananda, we have to die. It doesn't mean that we should commit suicide with a gun or some poison, but it means that we should commit suicide with our material desires. Those desires have to die. They have to be finished. Our problem in this world is we have so many hopes. We've suffered from day one in this place. When we came out of the womb of our mother, we entered into this world screaming and crying. And we've been doing nothing but suffering. But still, we have so many hopes that this time it'll be different. This time, my desires for pleasure and happiness will be successful. So we have to become hopeless. All those desires have to die. And then, with sincerity, we can call out the name of Nityananda. So someone may ask, what is so special about Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He says, oh, you don't know. Nityair karuna suni pasana milaya. His karuna, his mercy is so special that when the stones hear about Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, they melt. He says, but hoi re daruna hiya nagarabhitaya. I'm so unfortunate that my heart is harder than a stone. The stones are melting when they hear the mercy, the glories of Lord Nityananda's mercy. But my heart is so hard that it doesn't melt, even though I've been chanting for so many years and doing service for so many years. I'm so very, very unfortunate. And in the next line, the author gives us a clue of why it is that our heart is not melting. He says that Nittai Chaitanya Aparada Nahi Mani. If Lord Nityananda Prabhu sees that you're not offending Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what will happen? Jaritari Nija Prema Bhakti Koridani. The word Nija is significant. He'll give his own Prem Bhakti to that person. So that's why our heart's not melting when we hear about the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Our heart is harder than stone because we're doing some offense. We've offended Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he describes in Chaitanya Bhagavat about how dear his devotees are to him. Speaking about Murari Gupta, Mahaprabhu says, Thakura Chaitanya Bole Suno Sarva Janna Sakrita Murari Ninda Kori Jejana Koti Ganga Snana Koti Ganga Snanita Nahi Kanista Ganga Hari Name Tare Kori Bosanha. Thakura Chaitanya Bole Suno Sarva Jana. All of you, please listen. Mahaprabhu says, this is a very, very serious thing. He says that anyone who offends my devotee, they'll never be saved. And he says, Koti Ganga Snani Tara Nahika Nistar. You might think, it's not such a big thing. So I committed some Vaishnava Aparad. I can go take bath in the Ganga. Mahaprabhu says that even taking millions of baths in the Ganga, they won't be purified. He says, rather, Ganga Hari Nama Tari Kohiba Sanghar. I'll destroy that person. That person who's offended my devotee, I'll destroy him. And how does Mahaprabhu destroy him? He says, I'll destroy him through his bath in the Ganga and through his chanting of the holy name. What does it mean? Mahaprabhu says the same thing a few chapters later in Madhya Lila Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Jayamada dasira sakrit ninda kore mora nama kopataru sangaraita hare.
He says, my holy name, Nama Chintamani Krishnas, which is like a kopa vriksha tree, a Chintamani stone, that same holy name, which is so merciful, more merciful than Krishna himself, that same holy name I'll just use to destroy anyone who criticizes my devotee. So how is that? What does that mean? When Vishnu or Krishna kills a demon, what happens to that person? Because we don't see, I think, very honestly, not to be too critical, but that if the holy name were to destroy someone who is committing aparad, then during japa period, we might see a lot of bodies falling over. Jai Sri Radha Gokulananda. So what does it mean? When Vishnu or Krishna kills the demons, what happens to those persons? They get some mercy from the Lord. But what is their destination? They get Kaivalya Mukti. So when Krishna, through his holy name, destroys someone, what happens to that person? That person merges with the effulgence of the Lord, which our Goswamis have described is a fate much, much worse than hell. If you go to the hellish planets, it's really not such a big deal. You might have to stay there for a few kalpas, but that's a very, very short time in comparison to merging with the Lord's effulgence and staying there for eternity. So we were describing this once to one friend of ours from Singapore. And he said, anyway, Vaishnava aparad is not such a big deal. He said, actually, it's very difficult to commit Vaishnava aparad because it's very hard to find a Vaishnav. Right? Because we're all doing some drama. We're putting on Kunti Mala and Tilak. Garhitarachari, Rohilama Moji, Nakarino Sadhu Sangha, Loi Sadhu Vesh, Aniyupadesh, E Boro Mayara Ranga. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays like this. He says that I'm addicted to all sinful behavior, Garhitarachari, Rohilama Moji, and Nakarino Sadhu Sangha. I never really did Sadhu Sangha. I just made a show and pretended I was doing Sadhu Sangha. But what's going on now? Loi Sadhu Vesh. I'm dressing up like a sadhu. Ani Upadesh. I'm sitting here in front of all of you and giving class. E Boro Mayararanga. This is Maya's big joke. So it's not such a difficult thing, he's saying, to commit Vaishnava aparad, because first we have to find someone who's a Vaishnav. Well, let's analyze these verses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. This verse we just quoted, he said, Jayamara dasira sakrit nindakori. How does he refer to his devotees? He says, das. Jayamara dasira. My servants, my dasas. So who is that das of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That's the important question. In the very next verse, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu addresses that point. Ananta brahmande jata savamora das eti keje prada hingse se jayanas. Ananta brahmande jata savamora das eti keje prada hingse se jayanas. Very simple Bengali. Ananta means all the unlimited. Brahmanda means universes. Ananta brahmanda jata. Sabha means all, like sarva in Sanskrit. Mora means my. And das means servant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that everyone in all the unlimited universes is my servant. And he says, Ete KJ Padahingse Se Jayanas. That anyone who criticizes another person, they'll be finished. But we say, this doesn't really apply to me. Because, you know, I'm a sadhu. Mahaprabhu says in the next verse, Sanyasi jari anindaka ninda kore adapate jai sarva dharme guche tare. He says, you may be a sannyasi, a dandadari, sadhu, but if you criticize an innocent person, then even though you're big, big sadhu, big sannyasi, still, hoya sarvanas, everything is finished. You'll be vanquished. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives two simple instructions to the devotees. Anindaka hoi je sakra krishna bole satya satya muni tare urarivo hele. He says twice, satya, satya, satya. Satya means truth. Satya meva jayate, may truth be prevalent. But satya has another meaning. Satya means I vow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, satya satya munitari urarivo heli. Urarivo means to deliver. Definitely, I'll deliver anyone who does these two things. Anandika hoije, sakrit Krishna boli. Anyone Krishna boli who chants Krishna nam, and anandika hoije, who doesn't criticize others. So we took a poll in the beginning of this talk today, and we found everyone here wants the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But we all have to look in our own hearts and ask a very sober question. How badly do I really want that mercy? I am praying to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Adosha Darshi Mora, Prabhu Nityananda. He's my Prabhu because he's Adosha Darshi. But am I willing to become his follower? Am I willing to give up criticizing others, finding fault with others? Jagadananda Pandit, he sings in his Prema Vivarta, Gorara ami, gorara ami, muke bolile na chale, torara achara, gorara vichara, loile fala fale. So many people are running around, gorara ami, gorara ami. I'm a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ami bodo bhakta, I'm a big devotee. He says, but who really gets the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda? That person who follows the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he really gets the Lord's mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Jadi ama prati sneha taki sabakar. If you really love me, you'll follow my instructions. So the author of this song, he's singing that Lord Nityananda Prabhu will surely give his mercy to anyone who doesn't offend Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why is it the stones are melting when they're hearing the glories of Lord Nityananda, but my heart's not melting? Something's wrong. I must have done some offense to Sachi Sutta, to the beloved son of Mother Sachi, who's the life of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And because of that, the author sings, Taranam loite na galimorahiya. Therefore, the holy name is not coming to my throat or to my heart. If you go to Jagannath Puri Dham, you may go to Indradyumna Sarovar, where Indradyumna Maharaj performed an Ashvamedha Yajna and installed Lord Nrisimhadev before he installed Lord Jagannath in the Puri temple. Just near to Indradyumna Sarovar, there's a very ancient and special deity of Lord Shiva, who's known as one of the Pancha Mahadevas, or five most important Shiv deities in Jagannath Puri. His name is Nilakanteshwar Mahadev. He's famous as Nilakant. He has a blue throat. Why does he have a blue throat? Because he's drinking the poison, this bish. When the devas and the daityas were churning the ocean of nectar, the first thing that came out was this poison. Just like we're churning the nectar in our heart by chanting the holy name. And the first thing that comes out, is some poison. When you go and sweep the room, the first thing that happens is the dust comes up in the air. So this poison came out, and it was such a terrible poison that no one knew what to do with it. No one could deal with this poison. So they went to Lord Vishnu, and they said, "Oh, Lord Vishnu, please tell us, what should we do? How can we solve this problem?" Lord Vishnu told them, "I can't deal with it. It's too much for me. You should go to Lord Shiva." Now, why did he say like that? Certainly Lord Vishnu can very easily deal with it. But he wants to glorify his devotee, his Premi Bhakta, Lord Shiva. Varam me kam vanetapi purnat kama bivarshanat bhagavat yat chutim bhaktim tat pareshu tata twayi. Markandeya Rishi, in 12th canto of Bhagavatam, he offers prayers to Lord Shiva. He says, "Oh, dear Shivji, you're purna, you're complete, because you have Krishna Prem. So you please make me complete. I'm Apurna. I have so many desires in my heart. I'm always restless and disturbed. So you please give me that Krishna Prem, and please give me devotion to you, because you're Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. You're the greatest Vaishnav." So Vishnu sent the devas to Lord Shiva, not because Vishnu couldn't do it himself, but because he wanted to glorify his devotee. Krishna is Bhakta Bhaktiman. He's a devotee of his devotee. So they went to Shivji, and they said, "Shivji, Lord Vishnu told us we should come and talk with you. You should do something about this poison." And Shivji said, "Oh, Vishnu sent you. Oh, definitely then I should do something. My boss." So Shivji took that poison and he drank it. But he didn't swallow it. He could have nullified it and spit it out. He didn't do that either. He kept it in his throat. And that poison was so virulent, so potent, that it changed the color of his throat. And henceforth, one of the names of Lord Shiva became Nilakanteshwar. The one, Nilakant, the one who has a blue throat. So Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary in Vishnu Sahasranam, he's given some clue about why it is that Lord Shiva has this name. Why didn't he swallow the poison? He could have done that very easily and digested it. If Agastya Muni can swallow the whole ocean, Lord Shiva can very easily swallow a little bit of poison. It's no problem for him. He couldn't bear to do that, because he knew who was there in his heart and who would be troubled if he swallowed that poison. Krishna's there in the heart of his devotee, Shivji. And Shiva couldn't tolerate swallowing that poison. But then why didn't he spit it out? Because he also knew that Krishna is there on my tongue. Because Shivji is chanting the holy names. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan, one of his literatures, he describes that Shivji nullified that poison by his chanting of the holy names. So the author of this song, he's saying that Taranam Loite Na Gala Morahiya. The holy name is not in my throat, it's not in my mouth, it's not in my heart. It's not coming anywhere. And therefore, Krishna Dasa Kohimui Boru Abhagiya. I'm very, very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate, because I'm not getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because I'm Sarva Dosha Darshi. Instead of Adosha Darshi, I'm seeing everyone else's fault. I see the faults in everyone except for one person. Me. Everyone else has so many faults. And if someone comes and points out the smallest mistake that I've made, then I become very, very upset. And I chastise them. "Hey, Prabhu, what are you doing? You shouldn't criticize others. This is very bad. You're doing Vaishnava aparad." We say like that. But meanwhile, we're going and finding fault in so many persons. And it's not our business. As we spoke yesterday morning, this is the business of Guru. Guru, he's Sarva Dosha Darshi. We've heard from the disciples of Srila Prabhupada how Srila Prabhupada would find so many faults in the devotees. That's his business, because he's Guru. But his qualification and the qualification of anyone who has authority to find fault is that they distinguish between the fault and the person. They don't mix the two up. And as we said yesterday, Jesus in the Bible says that we should hate the sin, but not the sinner. We're not hippies. It's not that we shouldn't accept chastisement. Srila Prabhupada told one story you may know about one man who was raised by his auntie. And this young man was cajoled by his auntie and given whatever he wanted. And he was never chastised. He was never told no. And because of that, he grew up and he developed loose behavior. And he began to perform so many sinful activities and having illicit sex and intoxication. And finally, he was stealing and he killed someone. And then he was captured by the authorities and taken to court and found guilty and sentenced to death. And then as he's about to be hanged to death for his offenses, they asked him, "Do you have any last wish?" And he said, "Yes, there's one thing. I'd like to say something to my auntie." So his poor auntie was standing there in the audience crying, "My poor nephew, he's about to die." So she heard that he wants to say something to you. And her heart melted. "Oh, he loves me still." And she came up there and he said, "You come close so I can whisper in your ear." And she put her ear right up against his mouth. And then he took his mouth. He bit off her ear. And he began to curse her. And he said, "The reason I'm here today is because of you. Because you never chastised me." So when the spiritual master, when our parents, when our teachers, when our authorities, when the qualified persons chastise us, we should understand it to be a symptom of their love. And we should accept it in that mood. And if we do that, we'll capture their heart. And their qualification is that they don't mix up. They don't see the fault as being us. So that's their business. They have adhikar, qualification to find fault. But what is our qualification? We want to develop sishya abhiman, or the attitude of a disciple. Guru abhimana tyaji. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in one song in Kalina Kalpa Taru, "I reject the attitude that I'm guru. I'm always going to be a disciple." And what is that sishya abhiman? That sishya abhiman is adosha darshi. I don't see fault in anyone, except for one person. And that person I'm very, very harsh with. That person I find all faults in. And that person is myself. So if we behave in that manner, then definitely adosha darshi mora Prabhu Nityananda, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, will certainly be merciful to us. So we can stop there. Please forgive me if we've said anything wrong. Vancha kalpataru bhischa kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So are there any comments or corrections? Questions from devotees? It's a very nice thing, right? Nirapadada naim loi pai premadana. Definitely, if we chant the holy name with no offense, then definitely we'll get Krishna Prem. But we don't even have inspiration to chant the holy name without offense because we're committing so many offenses. But if we just become very simple, it's not a complicated thing. We just chant the holy name and don't criticize others. Smart Hari Prabhu.
Prabhuji, is this tendency to criticize others a symptom of lording it over? Does the conditioned soul actually aspire to be the guru of others?
Very nice. He's making a point, actually. I think he understands this. That this propensity for criticizing others comes because we're envious. We're envious of Krishna. We want to be Krishna. And so many of us before we joined, maybe we were following some Mayavad philosophy. But then we gave that up and then we became devotees and came here. But still, nirvisesa shunyavadi, that propensity for impersonalism is there in us because we want to imitate Guru. And therefore we were saying yesterday that we have to give up this anukor, this imitation. We have to adopt anusar. We have to be simple. And if we do that, Vaishnavism is simplicity. If we become simple, sarlatada Vaishnavism, if we become simple, then definitely we'll get the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava. But if we try to imitate them, if we try to take their position, then no one will appreciate. Is that okay? Something else?
So if we have some devotee lives outside, they go about the business, they're very meek, they're very humble, they're aspiring for spiritual life, they can put these practices into effect to some extent. However, if we have some person who's taken responsibility for some department in Mandir, there's a limited budget, there's limited resources, they have to make decisions. Is it so simple not to criticize when one has a responsibility to a higher thing as opposed to a person who's just not, who can engage? Is there some circumstances in which some criticism can be justified?
We spoke something about that, about how the teachers, the gurus, the parents, they have to chastise. Therefore, it's described that management is a thankless task. Sometimes devotees, they come to the society. One person even told me, he said, you have to think about your career in ISKCON. What is really our career? Why did we come here? Our career, we're all career people. But our career motivation should be that we want Krishna Prem. That's our career. It's a career to get Krishna Prem. But sometimes we come and we think, oh, real mercy means to become an authority, to become a manager, or a GBC, or a guru. And then you're really advanced. That's some shallow bahirmukh jana consciousness, external consciousness. We should understand that that management service is a very, very difficult, thankless task. They have to, as Smara Hari Prabhu is implying, they have to find fault in other persons. That's their service. If they're just very, very gentle and, oh, Prabhu, it's okay, you don't have to come to Mangal Artik. It's all right, you can watch television in the Brahmachari Ashram. You don't have to follow all the regulated principles, it's not so important. Then what will happen? Out of love to Srila Prabhupada, they have to follow, they have to be very strict. They have to chastise the devotees. But they have to be very, very careful. Because if they do it in the wrong motivation, if they do it in the wrong way, they may commit some offense. Therefore, it's a very, very dangerous thing. Sometimes in this regard, we tell the story of the curse of the dog, which we don't have time to tell right now. Maybe we'll tell this tonight, about the curse of the dog, and about how management is a very, very dangerous thing. Is that all right, Prabhuji? Prabhu? I don't know if exactly, only Krishna can say that. But definitely, if we commit some offense to an advanced Vaishnava, then it's a very, very dangerous thing. One thing comes to my mind when we speak about this subject. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Nityananda Prabhu makes a comment. I don't remember the Bengali, but he says that if someone commits an offense, that all the persons in that village are destroyed. And sometimes people, it's a very gruesome thing. They say, oh, because some leaders in ISKCON previously made some aparads, then we're all finished. And this whole society is finished. But what does it mean? We should contemplate that thing. Where do you draw the line? If someone in our village, if anyone in our village commits some offense and everybody's finished, what about this world? We're all one village. So then everybody in the whole world is finished if someone commits Vaishnava aparad. What does it mean to be in that village? Being in that village means that you're like-minded with that person who commits that offense. We've seen, unfortunately, because it's a big society, some devotees have come and there's been some casualties. Some of them have very unfortunately committed this hati mata, this elephant, mad elephant offense of criticizing Vaishnavas, and they've fallen down and gone away because of that. But not everyone in the society has done that. We've also seen some very, and we see to this day, some very, very exalted devotees in this society. So we can understand they're not part of the village of those Vaishnava aparadis. They're part of another village. We don't want to belong to that village of Vaishnava aparad. If we see someone committing that offense, we want to belong to another village. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, who's really a member of ISKCON? Our Guru Maharaj used to raise this question. He said, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said, who's really a member? He said, that person who's Krishna conscious. He's a member. And once he said like this, and he pointed at me, and he said, Madhavananda, not joined. So, have we really joined this society? And those persons who are real followers of Srila Prabhupada, they're not doing Vaishnava aparad. They're Krishna conscious. Some other persons may seem like they're part of the society. Just like you look in the Ganga, and you may see some stool or a dead body. Is that the Ganga? That's not the Ganga. The Ganga is pure. And ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's desire. And those persons who are wanting to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada, they're in that society. They're taking bath in the Ganga. And they're not associating with the stool and the dead bodies and other things. Is that okay, Prabhuji? No, it's not the same. That's a good point. We should think, though, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ananta Brahmande Jata Sabamora Das, everyone is my devotee, what does it mean? Does it mean that if we walk out in downtown London and we step on an ant, do we get the same result as criticizing a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav? It's not the same. It's a much, much, much greater offense in offending Krishna's pure devotee. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is wanting us to think is that we should consider that everyone is his devotee. We should treat everyone as Krishna's servant. Because we don't know. We don't know who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. Vaishnava chinite nai devera shakati. Jagadananda Pandit describes that even the devatas try to understand, contemplate the sensory perception of the devatas. Try to compare our sensory perception to the sensory perception of an ant. An ant may be present in this room, and he may be able to perceive us. But what does he think of us? We're mountains that move or something. Maybe we're God that sometimes drops a little grain of sugar and feeds him. That ant can't understand us. And similarly, our perception compared to the perception of the demigods is like that ant. We can't understand what the demigods can perceive. Agnidev is so powerful that he can perceive anywhere and everywhere there's fire. And that includes in the bodies of everyone in the form of digestion. Vayu can perceive everywhere there's air, which also means in every body. Varunadev can perceive everywhere there's water. They're so powerful, we can't even begin to understand how powerful they are. But Jagadananda Pandit says, Vaishnava chinite nai devara shakati. The demigods, they don't have the ability to see who's a Vaishnava and who's not. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advising us, giving us some very, very important advice. Ananta brahmanda jata sabamora das. You should consider everyone in the universe to be Krishna's servant. And then we're protected. Is that okay? Is there anything else, Mataji? So we spoke something about this yesterday. We sang this very nice song by Devaki Nandan Das, who is formerly known as Gopal Chappal. He took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help him forgive his offense to Srivas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu said, I can't do anything. You have to go to Srivas and beg forgiveness from him. So he went to Srivas, and Srivas told him that you should go to Purushottam Thakur and take initiation. Purushottam Thakur is one of the associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Purushottam Thakur gave Gopal Chappell initiation, gave him the name Devaki Nandan Das, and told him, you should write this Vaishnava Vandana, these prayers to the Vaishnavas. And Mahaprabhu says, E satcha kohi, this is the truth. Toma sabari kebala, if you simply do this thing, na jani ninda jeba koili sakali, don't see fault in others. And if you've committed some offense to a Vaishnava, then you should go and beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava. Because no one else can forgive you but that Vaishnava. I'd like to speak something more about this tonight. Will you be here this evening? This is a very important question. We'll speak tonight about Daksha. Daksha committed an offense to Lord Shiva, and he cried, and he went to Lord Shiva and fell at his feet, and he begged forgiveness. And Lord Shiva said, no problem, I forgive you. But our acharyas say that his Vaishnava aparad to Lord Shiva continued in his next birth. And why is that? Jiva Goswami gives a very brilliant explanation of this. It's a very important subject. Is that okay? I'm sorry to leave everyone hanging, but it's an involved subject. Is there anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samabeda Bhaktivinda ki jai, Gop Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.